We thank you for being here this morning. We are pleased to see that you're out worshiping with us. We invite those who are visiting to come back every opportunity you have to study God's Word. We ask you to open up your Bibles and study it right along with us. See if we're teaching things in accordance to God's will. We try to do everything in accordance to God's Word. I want to thank the men for giving me this opportunity to speak while Tim is out of town. I noticed that a few of you noticed I was nervous in Bible study this morning. As class went on, I started calming down and getting my language together here. So hopefully I'll be a little bit calm up here and try to get my thoughts across. If you would, turn with me to Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 13. We'll read that verse here in a little bit. When I lost my job down at Banner, found my other job down here at Altivity or Graphic, whatever you want to call it right now, the fact is, I thought when I walked in there and got my first job, man, this is easy. All I got to do is put this pile here and put it on a skid and keep stacking it up, make it a nice perfect square if I can. Then about 3 months, 4 months into the job down there, they needed others to become assistant operators. I thought, well, that's kind of quick for me to move up, but they threw me up there. I thought, I can't do this. I'm so much embedded with what I learned in 28 years at Banner to switch now and try to learn everything in a backward situation. And it's backward terms, what we used to use. They call it something else. And I'm still struggling with it, and sometimes I walk out of that mill just so frustrated with myself. And I keep once in a while thinking, I can't do this. I can't handle this. And once in a while, I keep reminding myself, these little stories we tell our children, our grandchildren, we talk about this little train can putting along and sees this big hill, and all of a sudden it keeps saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And as it gets up over that knoll, it goes down that hill, it says, I can, I can. Well, that's what we want to talk about this morning. I can. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We need to put within our attitude today, and likewise I do need to within my job, I can do this. I can take a hold of what's going on and do it. I can do this. I can do that. I just got to put my mind frame in that. And a lot of us, sometimes we need that encouragement. Sometimes we need that back support and trying to do what we need to be doing. There are a lot of things we can do if we just put our minds to it. If we let God help us at times. Sometimes we just don't depend upon God as we should. When we think about temptation, what do you think about? Think about your weaknesses. Only us, you yourself, can imagine and know what your weaknesses are. You know, when we come to food, I love strawberries. And it's hard for me to resist strawberries. But if I have to, now I need to avoid them. And I have to get in my mind frame, I have to set these aside. I need to leave them alone. And the doctor told me before, when I had the kidney stone, I need to stay away from black raspberries. I love black raspberries. Once in a while, I may have some, but not like I used to. I used to eat them by the bowls, and as much as I could get them. I had to set them aside. I can do that if I want to. I can avoid that. But when we talk about temptations, we know our weaknesses. We got to rely upon God, that I can overcome my temptation. I can overcome my weakness. It's hard at times, But we can. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and beginning with verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Do we honestly believe that verse? If we got a temptation set before us, we must realize we can overcome. I'm already defeated if I say I can't. I've already given in to it. But the fact is, I know if I look around, there's a way for me to escape that temptation. I try to teach my boys when they were driving. And I try to do it to myself. Once in a while I let up. It seems like that's when things happen. But you try defensive driving. Always trying to look for a way to escape. If I'm driving down a road and I see somebody coming, do I have some place to go to just in case he crosses that line? If I'm sitting at a red light and I know how people drive and comes around turns or whatever and they wait until the last second to hit their brakes, I'm always looking in that back view mirror, rear view mirror, trying to figure out, is he going to stop in time? And if he don't, do I have time to react to get out of his way? Well, it helped me avoid a lot of accidents. One time I didn't. I got nailed up by a brook. I was in paying attention. I didn't look. All I heard was screeching brakes and heard a nice pow. I didn't look. I didn't prepare myself. And the fact is, we need to look around. There are ways to escape that temptation if we just look. If we just let God guide us as He should in accordance to His Word. There's no temptation that is overtaking you that's not common to other men. And we need to realize that we need to overcome that temptation. The Lord will always provide a way of escape. Turn with me to James, the first chapter. And beginning with verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. What do you say? Blessed is the man who overcomes his temptations, endures. We're never tempted by God. We're tempted from our own desires and lusts. And we need to realize that we need to be putting God first. And as long as we got God on our mind, we can have a way to overcome our temptations. So get in that mind, praying, that I can overcome my temptations when faced. Another thing that we can do is we can change. I use this statement down there at the mill here lately. I'm an old dog trying to learn new tricks. Give me time. I'll learn your technology, your terms, but it's going to take me a little while. Because I'm so used to the other terms that we used over at Banner. Well, I can change. And I have been slowly changing to their terminology. Sometimes we get the idea that I can't change. I'm set in my ways. When we first got married, and Ken and Paul will probably understand this a little bit. We've all been through it. We got certain habits each one of us had when we got married. And maybe throwing the clothes down on the floor instead of putting them in the hamper. The wife says, "Will you please learn to pick them up, put them in a hamper so I can take them and clean them?" Well, sooner or later, after about 15 years, you start changing. Start putting them clothes away like you're supposed to. Or bring them up, put them in the drawers or whatever. We change. And sometimes we got to get to the point where we help each other in our changing of our old habits. We as people can change. Some say, "Well, it's just so hard to change. I can't quit doing what I've been doing for all these years." I've known smokers that have smoked for most of their life, quit cold turkey. They had it in their mind, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a stop to it. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to quit alcoholism." They can quit, but they got to have that desire to change. Most of the time, when we send people into rehab, a lot of them don't have that desire to want to stop what they've been doing for years. Brother Harold brought up the fact that heroin is really bad within this valley here, especially lately. All type of drugs and others are creeping in. Has been for years. It seems like every day you hear about somebody being arrested or a big bust. These people can change if they put a desire in their mind that they want to bad enough. And this is what we need to do as individuals. We need to have that desire. We want to change. In Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 28, "Well, what do you think? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' He answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not. Which of the two did the will of the Father?" They said unto him, "The first." Jesus said unto them, "Surely I say unto you, that tax collectors and harlots will enter into the kingdom of God before you." Why? Because they were willing to change their life. They were willing to do what God or the Father wanted them to do. The first son said, "I'm not going out there and working. I'm not going out there in that vineyard." But he regretted it. Had a change of heart. Went out and asked what his father asked him to do. And there's a lot of us that say, "Well, I would do this." But we don't. How many promises have we made in our everyday life to somebody that we said we're going to do this and that by a certain period of time, and we don't do it? Well, we had that right mind that we've in good intentions that that's what we're going to do. But how many of us actually fulfill what we promise? Acts the 17th chapter and verse 30. "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Also in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God is waiting for us to change. He is waiting for us to become obedient to God's will. Man said, "Well, God promised He'd be here soon." The people back that we can read about within the New Testament chapters were ready to go at that time. They were all prepared. They gave up everything, ready to die, waiting for that second coming of Christ because He said He was coming soon. Time means nothing to God. Except the fact that He's trying to give us the opportunity to repent, to change, to correct our lives. And there are some that has. Acts, the second chapter, we can read about the murderers. Who put Christ to death? Those that heard Peter speaking to them? As he taught the first gospel sermon? They repented. They asked, what can we do? Repent and be baptized. How many were baptized? Mission 3,000 at the time. Chapters later talks about another 5,000. Willing to change. But they put Christ to death. They were the ones that said, crucify Him. The sorcerer can change. Acts 8 chapter. We can read about Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8 chapter, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city, astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they have all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because they had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. When they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs that were done. Simon was a sorcerer. He had magic. He impressed a lot of people. He made money off of it. He gave it up. Become a Christian. He didn't make a mistake. Shortly after that, he wanted to buy the power that the apostles had at that time. And they told him to repent. Pray to God that you're forgiven. He did. Sorcerer. He gave up his livelihood for Christ. 1 Timothy. As Paul is writing to Timothy, talks about a blasphemer that was willing to change and did change. 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 13. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, persecutor, insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul was talking about himself. He said, you couldn't find any worse person than what I was. But I changed. I started teaching Christ's Word. I was willing to the point of dying to teach it. I can change. Romans, the first chapter, and verse 16, talks about it is the power of salvation. To everyone that believes, first to the Jews, then also to the Greek, or Gentile. It has power. But we got to use it. We got to let it affect us. We can change if we want. Other thing that, and Tim has been teaching upon this, I can teach others. When I first became a Christian and started to grow, they asked me if I could lead singing. I can't do that. But I tried. And I still try. We speak. We speak. Give a 5-minute talk on Wednesday evening. I can't do that. I'm too nervous. I can't get in front of people. They encouraged me. Got me to speak. Offering up a prayer, we say, I can't do that. Not out loud, not in front of a group. It makes me nervous. I'm too nervous to do that. I'm too nervous to wait on the table. We can. We just got to work our frame of mind. We can do this. As long as I'm doing what God wants me to do, I can do all things. Now, I can teach people. I can teach others. We say, well, sometimes I just don't know enough. I have never known anybody that knows everything. If you do, please tell them. I thought men that I've been taught the truth at the time, I thought they would never leave God. Never teach anything false. They know too much. And I find out years later, they're teaching false doctrine. They wrote books on false doctrine. Goes to show me they don't know everything. Sometimes we put somebody up on a pedestal just a little too high. Fact is, nobody upon this earth knows it all. And sometimes teenagers think that. But they find out as they grow a little bit older, they didn't know as much as they thought. Dad and Mom knew more than what they realized. But the fact is, I can teach others. I don't have it all. And as I mentioned this morning in adult Bible class, if you got a question, I can't answer it, I'll go home and study upon it. Try to give you that answer. Or maybe somebody else in the classroom can give that answer that you need. And then I'm learning likewise. I'm learning too. We're all in a learning process. And we need to understand that. Andrew first brought his brother to Jesus, John, the first chapter, verses 40 and 42. Paul got up and preached Christ in Acts, the 9th chapter, verse 20. And we were given examples that we need to teach all creatures, every living creature. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Everything we can do is I can make a difference. How many times have you heard that? Election's coming up. My vote don't count. It won't make a difference. Well, from what I can hear from the news and stuff, people wish they made that difference on Bush 4 years ago. Thing is, I'm a Bush backer. I think the man's trying to do as much as he can. But you know what we fail to realize? Sometimes it's Congress that really guides the country more so than the president. And we need to realize that. If he don't have the support, he don't have the backing, he can't get anything done. Reagan, when he was president, was able to make a difference because he was able to talk to his individuals, convince him that what he was doing was right. Maybe Bush didn't quite have that ability. I don't know what the problem is, but there is. Now, understanding, we can make a difference in other people's lives. By the way I act, by the way I talk, by the way I treat others. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, talks about being a light into the world as Christians. Matthew 5, again, verse 13, says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If it then be good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp, put it under a basket, put it on a lampstand, and give it light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are an example to others. Even if it's just what we do in our everyday life can affect what other people think. Sometimes we fail to realize that. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 6. "Your glory is not good. Do you not know that there's a little leaven, a leaven, the whole lump? I know most don't make bread anymore like used to when I was growing up. Used to be that's all that you had, was homemade bread. But on a certain type of day, nice and dry and hot, you put that little bit of yeast in the dough, and you kneaded it, and you let it go for about an hour, and you come back in, and it's this big, gigantic lump. And then you kneaded it again, and let it spread out again. You work in the yeast tent. You let a problem comes in, even though it's real tiny, you let it go, it will destroy the congregation, the vegetable. That little difference, that little problem, can create a bigger problem later on. In raising and trying to discipline our children, parents, we don't always make the right decisions at the right time. But sometimes you let something go, slide by just a little bit, down the road, it becomes a bigger problem. And it don't work. If you don't take care of a little problem, boy, you got a mess coming up about an hour or so later. We had an air compressor the other day kick out. You talk about a mess. We had glue and paste all over the place, cleaning it up. It takes pet thinner to help clean it up. They've been told about the air compressor for months. All it was something real simple. They wouldn't fix it. Well, they finally fixed it after it kicked out about 7 or 8 times on different shifts. And everybody had to clean up their mess. It took us 4 hours to get cleaned up and try to get the machine going again. If you took care of the problem, we'd have been running. There wouldn't have been no problem. Should have fixed it in the first place. It became a bigger problem and added more work where it didn't need to be. And sometimes that, like I say, that little problem that we let go and we try to ignore will become a bigger problem if you don't put a stop to it. It does make a difference. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. In verse 2. Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read by all men. What was Paul telling the church at Corinth at that time? You're making a difference. Ye are our epistles. You are our writings. You are showing others what we're teaching is the truth by the way you're living. Church of Corinth had a ton of problems, and they corrected a lot of problems by the second book. They were trying to correct everything that they needed to correct to be found righteous in the sight of God. And Paul said, you're doing good. Keep improving. You're showing others that they can be taken care of. It does make a difference. And sometimes we as individuals can make a difference at school, at work, at home, even within the congregation. We just got to realize, I can make a difference. Also, I can understand the Bible. How many times have you heard people say, I can't understand it? Nobody can understand the Bible alike. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Why would they give us a commandment to understand what God wants us to do if we can't understand it? Why would He give us something that we will never agree upon? But the problem is, we're unwise. The fact is, we let other things come in to keep us from understanding God's Word. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 4. By then, when you have read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus. He says, I'm trying to explain to you everything that I know that God has given it to me. It's there. It's open. We can all understand it. I'm trying to put it in terms that you can. And we can all understand God's Word if we study, if we apply ourselves. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, as he is writing to the young man Timothy, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker not who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We can divide it right, but we got to study it. We got to apply it. We got to shun what we think. If you put 10 people within the room, you can get them with an open mind. Sit down and ask for the plan of salvation. They can come up with it. The problem is, a lot of them just don't like to do it. A lot of them will, well, I think maybe if we do this and drop that. But being honest, a lot of them will say, well, yes, that's what God's Word says, but now here comes my think so. We need to take God's Word as it is. And we can understand it. For He wouldn't be giving us commandments to understand His will. And I can go to heaven. Some think that God requires too much and there's just no way they can make it. Or that they can do anything they want and make it. Matthew, the 7th chapter, said it wouldn't be easy. Christ is doing the speaking in verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who will find it. Not going to be easy. He said it's going to be narrow. The door is going to be small. And it's going to be struggles. But you get through it, you go to heaven. Many like to take that wide gate, that wide highway, and lead themselves to eternal damnation. It's so much easier. Sometimes to get through a city, sometimes it's better to take the back streets than it is sometimes the main highway. Not always, but most cases it is. Sometimes I've seen super highways you couldn't even hardly get on them because of the traffic. Maybe we need to apply that here. Everybody likes to take the easy way. Do things the easy way. But I can make it to heaven if I got the faith and the belief. If I do God's will, I can get there. Revelation 2nd chapter and verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, I will give you the crown of life. John is writing to the church and telling them, you're going to have problems very soon. You're going to be cast into prison. You're going to be tested. If you make it through, you do what God wants you to do, you remain faithful to Him through death, you'll receive heaven, your home. We don't have much punishment today for coming here this morning to worship God. That's not to say within the next few years we won't have that problem within that in this country. There are countries that will put Christians to death for attending services, trying to hear God's word. They're thrown in prison till they die. Some are put to death on the spot. I got a book at home of martyrs, and some of the things that they used to do to individuals, and they remained faithful to God as they died. Unbelievable. I can't even imagine people doing that to others. But they've done it. It's proven. I can get to heaven if I remain faithful to God. And there's one other thing. I can be a Christian. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you haven't done His will, we plead with you to become a Christian. Some think they can't be Christian because it's too hard. Christ died for every man. He gave every man opportunity to hear His word and receive His blood, salvation of their soul. Hebrews 2nd chapter verse 9, 1 John verse 2, and chapter 2. Matthew 11 chapter verses 28 through 30. He pleads with you to become obedient to God's will, to His Father. Listen to Him. We can be a Christian. We can get to heaven. There may be one here this morning that has not yet obeyed the will of God. You're not a Christian yet. You must hear His word. You must believe that Christ was willing to come down and die upon that cross for our sins. You must be willing to repent, willing to change. We can change. We can change our lifestyle. We can change our think process. We can understand the Bible. You must confess. If Christ is the Son of God, then He can confess us before His Father and His angels. Then you must be baptized, buried with Him in a watery grave, raised up a new creature. And then you must live a faithful life until death, receive heaven as your home. Maybe one here this morning that has been a Christian, brought reproach upon themselves, upon the body, upon themselves. Come up, ask God for forgiveness of your sin. Repent. Change your life. We all fall. We all make mistakes. You must be willing to repent of them. Go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness of that sin. We can do a lot of things if we put our mind to it, if we have the desire. Your soul, your destiny, you can do something about it. Think about these things as we stand to sing the song, Invitation.